that. Maybe now you should stop laying down for the law. Be sure to commit acts of war, terrorism for sure. Open our seeds to succeed, to see us bleed some more. Beware how you answer your door. Offers these manhunters just trying to stack numbers, dying to put us under. They bootstrap, they do that. Old ladies ain't safe, they'll shoot you too. Because cleavers just cleave, the bullets go right through. As for Ned Garcia, when the beast come to see you, they'll murder you in front of your children. Be a believer, body bag, toe tag, and sad. And the mad, ready to fight for the life and the rights they had. See, God know the truth, yeah. He got the proof. My job is to wake up the youth. Real story, y'all. Hey. Yeah. Yeah.
Movie with the bad, judge unjust, give the killer chop a pass. People protest, and you see how they react. Cause police ain't scared, we don't fight back.
Cause the bomb is the president, you think my cause is irrelevant? A white man with a badge can't have ran in my residence. That's why I swore to keep it 100 in all my sentences. Case sensitive pigs and poor bad pestilence. I put my trust in Beto Weedo, who told me the pigs are beaching and mistreating. The judge won't believe it. Right. Tell my West Coast folks, and when the pigs provoke, they brothers in the East Coast trying to press the yoke. Ask Julian Alexander, shot dead, no Miranda. May I keep it honest and speak with candor? Billy Joe Johnson, a young black dating the white. They lied and said he shot himself when he stopped him that night. Don't think because you're white, there's no need to worry. Ask Miles Anthony Murphy, they'll kill you in a hurry. These cops are the disgrace, despite your race. They hit you with a knife, stick in your face, spray you with mace.
WPFW 89.3 FM, Midday Jazz and Justice. Just a little bit of Nightstick from NY Oil featuring Paris. Just trying to make a point, raise an issue here. We were going to play that in the context of a discussion we were planning to have this afternoon about police brutality in the district. But given the different direction we've taken this afternoon right here on Midday Jazz and Justice on WPFW, we thought we'd play it in another context. One of our previous callers, we are inviting callers on our version of community comment this afternoon, raised the question of why haven't we had, or why isn't there more discussion in the hip hop community about Michael Fronte and Spearhead, And, we wanted to respond with a little bit of a discussion that I had actually planned to have at another time, but let's at least start with it, in just one moment, because we do want to thank a caller who's been very patient who wanted to comment on Van Jones. So we're going to welcome her to the program now. Thank you for your patience, caller, and welcome to the air on WPFW.
Hi, I would like to make a comment about how astonishing it is that Van Jones was said to have been lost his job over signing a petition for 9/11 truth.
That was part of it, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a little hope in that, because if people are actually astonished at that and think that is an outrageous point, I think all they need to do is just sit down at the computer and look at any of the films that have been made, Loose Change, Terror, there's several of them, and see the sad truth that seems to be before us. And I'm praying that this will gently come out and we can deal with it as a country, because I live in D.C. and 9/11 truth is here in town. There's Rock Creek Free Press. And I'm astonished at how he had to take that hit for his signature.
Thank you very much for that comment. I mean, that was something that we had raised earlier. I mean, this issue of had the Obama administration not known what Van Jones's positions on many issues were, then that's shame on them.
Right.
And shame on them again if they did know which of course they probably did, and then succumbed to the pressure. I mean, I'm sure his political track record was, if not offered by him in the interviewing process, I'm sure easily found on some internet searches or with all the access that the presidential administration would have. But that's sort of the point, that even not getting to the depth or the complexity of what the caller was just raising, about whether or not the criticism of 9/11 and Bush's foreknowledge is accurate. But the question of whether or not assigning a petition in support of a larger event, you and I have been to millions of these things.
The petition was in support of investigation.
Exactly.
What could be wrong with that?
And also, it doesn't mean that you are agreeing with every single thing that an event is saying. And often we sign petitions out of solidarity at the moment, and we're not always, you know, you gotta watch the fine print. My name is going on a couple of things. I don't know if I,
but you know, in general, it looks good.
In general, right?
You, like, well, let me put it, you know.
But the point that I want to return to that Jane Hampshire was raising in the piece we're again talking about was that the administration and a left-wing progressive movement should have risen up to defend him.
That's right.
In the way that the right wing went attacking him. And I myself was critical of him from the other side of the political mm-hmm. spectrum. So I'm still saying that they should have risen in defense of him. And they didn't.
I mean, because they're definitely seeing it as a blow, and I'm seeing that, you know, the comments and the little articles. Oh, this is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Well, what more are we going to do, or are they going to do than say, oh, that's too bad. That's, you know, it's a blow to us. You know,
I don't know, but I think that again, what the article was raising. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't want to. Well, no, go ahead, because
I'm just going to say that this is sort of the problem that I'm seeing, that in general, that I agree with what Hampshire is saying, that and Glenn Ford has made this point at Black Agenda, that mm-hmm. that the progressive movement has suffered mightily under President Obama's administration, where mainstream nonprofit and activist organizations can't get funding. The Out of Iraq Caucus and Congress has no support anymore. Many other groups that she mentions that are mainstream nonprofit organizations can't get their funding. Their attendance at rallies is not high. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that Obama has said, we're going to get out of Iraq. Not really defining what that meant. Mm-hmm. And so on. So,
yeah. And then there's the responsibility that progressives, and you know, we're not even talking about revolutionaries, have to and keep the public informed about what's going on. How much? Because we probably pay attention to information sources that the general public don't have access to. So they you know, most of them get their news from CNN, CNBC, right, and all that. So how much of the admiration and quote unquote support that Obama's or the not Obama's individual, I got to get off of that because that it is wrong. The administration and the whole ruling class, how much are they getting that they don't deserve, that people should really be able to be seeing things? The chances have been already used up in terms of giving them a chance. Well, they've had chances. We should be seeing the handwriting on the wall, so we should be doing the work of, instead of trying to have access, informing people about what's going on. I think, and this might sound a little conspiracy theory-ish or whatever, but in a sense that a lot of times these rabid Republicans and the right attacking the Obama administration and what the Democrats are doing seems to give support, you know, raise support for them because people have sympathy. Say, sure. Well, see, they're just, you know, they're trying to struggle.
It also skews the debate in the sense that, you know, they attack Sotomayor as being some radical revolutionary mm-hmm. when 83% of her votes were against immigration. Exactly. In the immigration cases went against the immigrant. 92% of her voting record went along with Republicans. I mean, this was not some radical revolutionary, but because the right attacked her, even the left was like, we have to support her now. To support what? I mean, so, you know, again, these are all things. Look, what we're going to do is let's step aside. You know, you raise this issue of conspiracy. Like John Judge says, Ishmael Reed once said that if you want to call me a conspiracy theorist, you must acknowledge yourself as a coincidence theorist. So we're going to go and play a track from him and come back after the Laugh to Keep from Crying segment and raise the issue of what we were trying to address with the hip hop we just played a few minutes ago. So don't go anywhere, everybody. This is Midday Jazz or Justice and Justice, not Jazz or Justice, Jazz and Justice on the Liberated Masses Medium of WPFW 89.3 FM, broadcasting live from the nation's capital. Back in just a moment. Peace.
It's called Operation Black Steel.
We should call
We're calling it Operation Black Steel. I like that name. We're not changing it. What's your suggestion?
Jasmine and Huey's plan to get his friend out of jail.
Why is your name first?
Because I thought of the name.
I'm calling Operation Black Steel.
Suit yourself. You'll be sorry.
What?
Nothing.
Whatever.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. It said they were suckers. They wanted me for their army or whatever. Picture me giving a damn. I said never. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me and myself, because they never did. I wasn't with it, but just that very minute it occurred to me, the suckers had authority. Cold sweating as I dwell in my cell. How long has it been? They got me sitting in a state pen. I gotta get out, but that thought was thought before. I contemplated a plan on the cell floor. I'm not a fugitive on the run, but a brother like
begun to be another one. Public enemy serving time, they drew the line, y'all. They criticized me for some crime. Nevertheless, they could not understand that I'm a black man and I can never be a veteran. All the strength of situations unreal, I got a raw deal. So I'm looking for the steal. Word them up, I'm looking for that steel.
Yo, man, we gon' break you out of there, man. We ain't gonna like that, man.
Don't you know, they got me rotten in the time that I'm serving. Telling you what happened the same time they're throwing. Four of us packed in a cell like slaves. Oh, well, the same mother got us living in his hell. You have to realize what is the form of slavery organized. Under a swarm of devils, straight up, word them up on the level. The reasons are several, most of them federal. Here's my plan anyway, and I say I got gusto. But only some I can trust, yo. Some do a bid from 1 to 10, but I never did, and plus I never been. I'm on a tier with no tears should ever fall. Cell blocked and locked, I never clock it, y'all. Cause time and time again, time they got me serving to those to them. I'm not a citizen, but ever when I catch the CO, sleeping on the job, my plan is on go ahead. I want a strength, but I'ma tell you the deal. I got nothing to lose, cause I'm going for the steal.
WPFW 89.3 FM, Midday Jazz and Justice. Just a little bit of Public Enemy's Black Steel in the Hour of Chaos, which we merged there with a wonderful clip from the great show, The Boondocks, which was doing a piece called Passion of the Ruckus, which was about a number of different things, including political imprisonment and incarceration, where Little Huey wanted to use his breakout plan for the brother they wanted to get free. They called it Operation Black Steel. Anyway, so we thought we'd merge that. But also, as I'm joined in the studio this afternoon by Netfa Freeman. We were going to have a discussion this afternoon. We've had to reset a little bit on police brutality, which is why I had some of this music queued up. But one of the things that was brought up by one of our most astute and favorite callers a little while ago was this issue of
Asantewaa and Nkrumah Ture.
Exactly. About this issue of where is Michael Franti and political hip-hop, could we interview him on this program, and so on. I'll admit one of the reasons why I've never reached out to him is because one of the things that I've wanted to do with this program was to only give space to people who are most excluded. And in terms of hip-hop, political, Black American radical hip-hop is, in my estimation, the most excluded form. So if we were ever to open up the space for MCs, which is also kind of rare given this format, I would have wanted other folks to be included. And my reason for bringing that up was, I think, shown on Democracy Now a couple of weeks ago when they had the artist Kanon, who we featured a few songs ago, a track called Waving a Flag from his new album, which is a great song. Mm-hmm. And the album is very, very good. Although some people who know him better than I do have said he's kind of softened, for a more broad commercial audience. I don't know. And then we followed it up with another new song from NY Oil called Nightstick, about police brutality in this country. So just very quickly, what I had hoped to put a larger show together about, or a segment at least, was the interview that Kanon did with Amy Goodman on Democracy Now!, which airs on this network, on this station, 8 a.m. weekdays, something that I don't ever miss, along with many other programs on this station. But one of the things that struck me in the interview, she asked him about his song Hardcore, which is about the point he tries to make in a rap song, in hip-hop music, rap mm-hmm. music song. He makes the point that Black American rappers should basically not be so quick to complain about their conditions, because where he's from in Somalia, it's much worse. Now, I was bothered by this bit of the discussion and why Amy Goodman asked him this question. This goes back to something that some of us have been discussing for a long time, which is the relationship that white progressives have with Africans from the continent that differs from Africans in this country that I think has everything to do with...
Well, good. I probably qualified to say it's not even just the fact there's Africans in this country. It probably has to also, there's probably more ideological to do with it. Now, had he been an African from the continent who was talking about Pan-Africanism and making connections with Africans all over, they probably still had the same relationship.
Well, that goes to the core of my, exactly. Okay. So my point was that I feel like because progressives and liberalism is a problem in general across racial lines, that they are more comfortable dealing with radicals from other parts of the world, dealing with those issues, as opposed to people focused on issues right down the street. So Amy Goodman is broadcasting from New York City, and I have yet to see a radical MC from New York City on her program in the history of that program. So I haven't seen NY Oil on there. I haven't seen Rebel Diaz on there. Mm. Laura Flanders interviewed Rebel Diaz. I haven't seen them on there. I haven't seen Hasan Salam on there. I haven't seen so many other folks that I can name on her program, because their focus is Black America, what's happening right down the street from her Firehouse Studios, as opposed to something going on in Somalia, and as opposed to taking pot shots at popular hip hop, which most real hip hopians or astute fans of the culture don't accept, much like in jazz. Mm-hmm. The same thing, one of the reasons why I didn't want to bring this up yet is because I want to do a little bit more research, but the same thing as I've seen so far happens in jazz, that people would prefer to put the radicalism outside of the country and deal with it there as opposed to what's going on here, because white people here and others in the country have more that they could do about conditions here than they could about Somalia. So that was just my quick thing. So Michael Franti, all due respect, this is not personal, but because he does get run, he's been on Democracy Now. He's been featured in other white liberal spaces that are great. And I think he is very talented. But in terms of what we try to do with this program, I wanted to give that time, what little space we do provide for hip hop on this program, to MCs who are focused on this country, who would never be invited, or I should say, have never been invited into, in this case, Amy Goodman's studio. So that was just my quick thought. I don't know if you have a response to that.
No, I mean,
well, if anybody else does, 202-588-0893.
Yeah, open it up for some other people. 202-588-0893.
That's right.
But, I mean, I agree with it. I guess I would add, and it's probably not even an addition, because I think it's implicit in what you're saying. It has to do with what issues, I guess, or even the vision, worldview, the vision of a solution that we accept. Because, like we said, if the brother was talking about and not being an African, born in the U.S. born in the U.S., but if he was talking about things like forging working relationships with Africans here and talking about the same kind of hardcore stuff here, making comparisons to, like, Kanan's hardcore. If he was, instead of saying, well, this is a much more intense and situation than what you, if he instead had the song posited as there's a parallel between the conditions, between the fact that our young people are armed to the teeth and fighting each other and not looking at our common enemy, that's a different song. And he probably would not, and it would also have a different response from the white liberal establishment and be just as unwelcome as anything else.
Well, the phone lines have lit up. Let's go ahead and welcome them in. WPFW Midday Jazz and Justice, Labor Day Community Comment Edition on our program. Welcome to the program. You're on the air with your comment. Thank you for waiting.
Yes. I'd just like to say that I think that we as black people, we...
All right, caller, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the air with your comment. Hello?
Go ahead.
Yes, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yeah, how you doing, sir?
As well as could be expected.
Yeah, my name is Nnamdi. I'm from Nigeria. I actually empathize with what you're saying regarding, giving that audience a Somalian hip-hop actors. But at the same time, I think, we run ourselves to the ground if we think that we can't criticize hip-hop actors here, because the reality of it is that they have a larger responsibility. They're beamed all around the world. So we need to criticize them so that not only do they talk about issues going on with Africans in this country, with black people in this country, they're able to talk about issues going on with the large African diaspora around the world. They have a responsibility, instead of putting out most of the garbage that they put out around the world, which, unfortunately, the whole world gets to see.
No question. Thank you very much.
That's my comment.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate that comment. One of the points that we always return to is that the reason that they are selected for popularity and being sent all around the world is specifically because they touch on they make relevant they focus on what they focus on. The people that I'm talking about paying tribute to and giving space to do have a different content, and therefore they will never be picked up by American mass media and sent all around the world. That's exactly the point, which is why I'm saying that when an artist like Kanan, who is very talented and very intelligent, falls into that trap of not making that difference, of not recognizing that the reason popular hip hop is what it is because it is intentionally selected because of its nonsense. Right. And that the other stuff that we try to feature on this program is intentionally suppressed. Then I think we missed the point. But anyway, did we lose everybody? Caller, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the air with your comment.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, welcome. Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Shaka.
Yes.
And I'm actually from Guyana, even though I've lived in this United States for quite a few years.
Yes.
And I wanted to reiterate what you said about people focusing more on what's going on outside of this country as opposed to what's happening with black people in this country. My experience has been that it seems that white people here tend to be more comfortable dealing with people like myself who were born outside the country. Now, with blacks who were born here, probably because they figure, well, okay, whatever trials and tribulations you may have in your country, I was not, or anybody related to me from the past is not directly responsible for.
Right, right. No, that's exactly the point.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's exactly my point.
Yes, but I'm thinking that we've somehow in our community, I'm talking like people from the Caribbean, people from Africa, brothers and sisters from right here, then we need to get together and get rid of some of the divisions that exist between us and come up with some common solutions. Because, you know, we come from other countries, we live here. And you, our brothers and sisters who are from here, you guys know the terrain a lot better than we do. And so we need to lean on you and get some directions from you guys as to how to maneuver our way around here.
No question.
Rather than coming and saying, well, you know,
Brother Shaka,
we do come in, I'm sad to say, we do come in sometimes with some negative stereotypes about our brothers.
No question. Here. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Go ahead. Yeah, never
no, I was just going. I think I remember him calling in before when last week when he was on Africa Now. Brother's an educator. He made some good points before when he was on.
He's making them now. I mean, yeah. I think that the one of the things, that, again, this is WPFW, Midday Jazz and Justice. Got a couple more people on the line, but I want to ask them to hold on just for a moment. We're going to step aside, catch our breaths, come back and wrap up with this topic in just a moment. We appreciate their patience and everybody else for listening. This is WPFW 89.3 FM Midday Jazz and Justice. I'm Jared Ball, your host. Back in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. Peace. Abby Lincoln and Max Roach, Freedom Day, WPFW 89.3 FM, Midday Jazz and Justice. I'm Jared Ball, your host here with you every Monday from 1 to 3, getting ready to wrap up our program. Joined this afternoon by Annette for Freeman. We thank him very much. And we have a couple phone callers who have been waiting patiently. Want to get to them before we get ready to wrap up. One point I just want to make very quickly is that, two things very quickly. Don't miss the premiere film screening of Tezza at the Avalon Theater on Thursday, September 17th at 8 p.m., followed by a Q&A with the director and cast. That's Holly Garima and cast. The premiere celebration for Tezza continues on Friday, September 18th from 6:30 to 10:30 p.m. with a special wrap party at Live Nightclub, located at 11th and U Streets, northwest above Bohemian Caverns. For more information, visit us online at WPFW.org. I played the Public Enemy track a little while ago because it wasn't just white liberals I was being critical of. I meant to remember also that it was the black bougie radio people that kept progressive hip hop off the air and left the corporations to fill the void with the nonsense that they have promoted in its place. But, anyway, let's grab a couple people. If you could, please be mindful of the 60-second time limit so we can get you in and before we make way for the Gary Null program coming up at 3 o'clock. Caller, thanks for your patience and welcome to the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to know, I'm just getting in very late. I wanted to know whether the Hip Hop Ambassadors program by the State Department was discussed and, you know, either of you, your take on it. the Hip Hop Ambassadors program by the State Department?
Yeah, I don't know about it, but anything to me that's sponsored by the State Department.
Okay, basically, it's a descendant of the Jazz Ambassadors program. I'm sure both of you are familiar, where Jazz Ambassadors were sent all over Europe as kind of a face, a positive face of American culture during the Cold War.
No, they have.
It's a similar situation, basically, with underground hip-hop artists. Actually, a few from the area, locally,
that's right.
Very progressive
that's right.
Hip-hop artists
that's
were
right.
being sent, you know, across the globe, courtesy of the State Department.
No, that's
I didn't
right.
know whether you had a take on it.
I did have a take. Thank you very much. I forgot about the program, but I did know that from some artists from the city had been sent around the world. Mm-hmm. To do the talented artists, Kokai, Opus Akabin, or one crew that we've aired on this program.
That's interesting.
And I've raised the question, even with them at certain events that they've hosted, raised the question of what did they feel the relationship was? Did they feel that they were being misused to promote a certain version of this country to the so-called third world, and in this case the Middle Eastern world? And I can't speak for them. I can't fully explain their point of view on that. They felt that they were able to accomplish far and beyond whatever negative agenda the State Department might have had, but. Yeah.
Well, they did have some agenda, and I would have been curious to know what is their agenda in doing that.
Well, it goes to the issue that I think is across the board. To what extent are individual politics of particular artists able to outdo the agenda of those who sponsor them? So it's not just the State Department, but I would have the same question of all those who sign
record
deals.
That's what I'm questioning, the State Department's agenda. What is it? Because we can only know if we're outstripping it if we know what it is.
And I would say that it but it's the same thing. Like, people will argue that if you can get a progressive artist on a record deal who can get some popularity, blah blah blah, this will overcome the record label's agenda. And I just don't agree with that. I don't see that as reality. But anyway, thanks for that call. And caller, welcome to the air with your comment. Yes, hello, caller. You're on the air with your comment. Okay, caller. Thanks for your patience. Welcome to the air with your comment.
Yes, I wanted to make a comment on one of the previous callers when he stated that the Americans of European descent place brothers and sisters from Africa on a different level of social interaction than Americans of African descent here.
Sure.
And it's not because of the issue of slavery, so to speak, that they didn't have anything to do with what's going on in Africa, because the European brothers and sisters in Europe have a great deal to do with the destabilization of Africa. And they both share, the Europeans of both sides of the water share in the destabilization of the African diaspora as a whole. The real reason is because the Europeans don't respect Americans of African descent here because of the slave trade and what has happened since then. They don't respect us as a whole and as a people. That is the real reason why they interact that way. They feel that those of African direct descent have better cultural values and principles about them than those over here who underwent slavery and have lost themselves.
Thank you very much for that comment. I think you raised a very interesting point. Nefa, quick response?
Well, I don't disagree. There might be something to what he's saying, but I wouldn't discount the other aspect. I think the other thing we're raising in terms of, because it's easy for Europeans here to rationalize that no, we didn't, the U.S. never colonized anything directly, maybe neo-colonized, and definitely has relationship to that. But even we're talking about liberals who would denounce neo-colonialism in that way, but in terms of denounce unfair trade and those kind of things and say, well, I'm doing my part that way. So it's easy for them to
have two things at least that have to be brought up, I think, that we have obviously don't have time to get into. One is, most studies have shown that the average so-called legal immigrant, and I don't believe anybody's illegal, but the so-called legal immigrant, regardless of their point of origin, comes here to from a better economic position than the average black American. So there's a class issue here also.
That's
so
right.
A lot of these people meet on universities and are very safe places where their class unity is a little more in line.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it is an issue of, and there's a long history of white society in this country being specifically fearful of what they have done to black people in this country.
Right.
It's a very long history, very complicated history, but a very prevalent one. So that's the one I tend to see, how I tend to see it, that they're more comfortable with these other folks and dealing with the people who live right down the street, who live right across the city or right across the bridge or whatever you have you, and they're very uncomfortable hearing their critiques of what's going on in the world. So if they can find a progressive hip hop artist who's going to actually voice in song that Black American hip hop artists are fraudulent and don't have the right to claim a hard life compared to what people in Somalia or other places have had to
that'll
deal with, that'll make them feel more comfortable. So anyway, Netfer, thank you very much for joining me this afternoon. Thanks to all of our callers. All right, as you're going to hear from Mos Def and Fred Hampton in just a moment, to you we say peace if you're willing to fight for it. Mos Def has been on Bill Maher's show. So, all right, anyway, we'll be back. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned for Gary Null and much more on WPFW 89.3 FM. Thanks, everybody. Next week, peace.
Flash it. New things. This is a song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. No ass to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't. Tell them this.
Tell them this.
Understand that you have to pay the price of peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die?